So here we are. Hello. Good afternoon to you. Or good morning. I don't know what it is. Guess what I'm looking for. Got it. So welcome to Easy Sing On Podcast. Now, generally, if you're a listener to the podcast, I don't have to explain to you what's going on. But for other people, I'm going to explain to you all the ins and outs of today's show. Now, generally, I play tracks from the multitude of people that send me their tracks. But this week, I'm not. This week is going to be something different. Now, I was going to record this last week, but for reasons that I'll talk about in just a moment, I didn't. I did a normal show where I just chose some of the best tracks that I've been sent and some of the older tracks to be played on the show. But this week is different. So let me tell you what this week's about. Now, I've kept it a little bit quiet, what I'm going to be doing. In fact, I haven't told anybody about this. But anyway, so what I've done is I'm kind of re-releasing an album of mine called 3AM. And I'm re-releasing it on vinyl. Yes, vinyl. Beautiful, black, gorgeous, sexy vinyl. Now, the thing about this particular item is that if I go to a vinyl place, a vinyl record pressing place, they have a minimum order and I have to front up a lot of money. Now, for other reasons that I'll get into a bit later on. I'm a bit loud here. Let me just turn this down a little bit. I'll blow your eyes out. Sorry. I'm not extremely popular, so I can't actually go. Well, I could get the money together and go and get this album printed and then try and sell it and then cry into my beer. But this particular service that I'm using by a company called Go Diggers. I'll look at that in a minute. What you do is you pre-order your vinyl copy, and once we get past a certain amount where it's feasible to burn it, it gets burnt and you get sent your copy. If we don't raise enough money, when I say we, I mean we, if enough money isn't raised, then the album isn't made and everyone gets their money back and we all go about our daily lives as we did before. But ideally, what I'd like to do is to get this reissued again on beautiful black vinyl with your help. So to that end, this podcast today is entirely about the album 3AM. In fact, it's all about my album called 3AM. So I'll tell you a little bit about the album and I'll tell you a little bit about myself. But first of all, I should play the number one track off the album. When I say the number one track, the first track off the album. So let me just play the first track off the album for you. It is, in fact, the title track called 3AM. Now, I wrote this song so long ago, I can't even remember where I was when I wrote it. For a lot of songs, I can remember what it was about and how I wrote it and stuff. But there are certain elements of this song that come into my mind every single time I play it. And I still play this song now. Now, I've been playing this song for donkey's years and I still play it now. There's certain things like, there's a line in it that says, you'll see my destination written in a magazine. And I actually had the idea of somebody reading a magazine and seeing a destination in this, like some sort of country, it doesn't really matter where, and they circle that country. And it's like, oh yeah, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go there. And so I have that image. Also, 3 a.m., the stars are out, I hear the taxi driver shout. I imagine, almost filmatic. I'm walking out of a building into the night, and this particular building, I actually had a particular building in mind. It's a block of flats. I know it's exciting, a block of flats in a place called Walton on Thames, which is near where I grew up as a kid, and this particular block of flats had. It's an amazing block of flats because it was built on pillars. So you've got pillars underneath that you walk underneath the flats, and then you can actually get into them. And like it's a high rise block of flats. Anyway, That's the song. Now, long-time listeners of the podcast will know that before I had this music that lovely Glenn Mortman supplied to me, I had one of my own songs. And the chords for those songs were the inspiration for the chords for this song called 3 AM. So I'm going to play you this song, 3 AM. And before I play you anything, I must say a big thank you, a really, really big thank you to the guy that recorded this album for me, and the guy who did a lot of the co-producing, coming up with loads and loads of ideas. And it's anyway, I'll mention him after this album. Can I tell you what he did? Well, he actually did do quite a lot on this first song. In fact, he came up with the idea of putting some keyboards in at the beginning. And that's what he did, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what he did and who he is after this. So listen to this. This is the first track off the album, 3 AM. And if you're waiting for anybody else's music and you think, oh, is it worth waiting for anyone else? No, I'm just going to do the album. Okay. Anyway, let's kick off with this. And listen to this. This is 3 AM off the album, 3 AM. You're not home. Gonna pack my bag, I'm gone. You see my destination written in a magazine. It's 3 AM, rain's coming down. Got the water on the ground beneath my feet. I'll walk calmly out of town. I'm a little stoned, I got nothing but my soul and some dignity. Heaven, take me, you'll never break me. Heaven, take me, yeah, no, no, no. Heaven, take me, you'll never break, yeah, yeah. Take me in, no, no. Had the good times, then you threw them all away. You just don't even care. Time's a wasting, but time's a fool. Never going back, never going back there. Gonna pack my bag, I'm gone. You'll see my destination written in a magazine. It's 3 AM and you're not home. Heard my message on the phone. That's the last time you'll hear from me. Heaven, take me, you'll never break me. Heaven, take me, yeah. Heaven, heaven, no, heaven. So there you are. That's the first track off the album 3AM. And so Toby Vane was the guy that produced that. We both come up with ideas, but all the beats that are on that and all the beats that are on the whole album, he basically wrote from scratch. And it was a very, very creative few days. And Toby's studio, which is literally was custom built in his back garden, a kind of, I would say, glorified garden shed, but it's very much, it was a very much glorified garden shed, behind this really lovely house in Winchester that I went to for about 6 days in 2014, beginning of the year. I think it's probably springtime-ish. I think that we actually released it in April. And he also did all the mastering for me for free. Well, kind of for free. I gave him some what's called PRS points. Those of you in the know will know that PRS points can pay for various bits and pieces. It means that any time that it's played on the radio or et cetera, he gets a little bit of that money as well. Because of that, because he mastered it all for me. And I'll tell you a little bit more of what he did later. But yeah, so I honestly love that track, love that version of it. And I still play that track. I still play it. And I love the fact that there's harmonies there, there's different instruments there. Toby did some keyboard stuff at the beginning off a little tiny keyboards. And I played bass and did all the backing vocals and all the other bits and pieces, all the other, there's lots of various percussion instruments in this song, in the album. So anyway, let's get on to Don't, which is the second track in the album. We really had a lot of fun with this, thinking about how we can do it. Because what I didn't want to do was to have an album of my songs played exactly the same as I'd been playing them. So it sounded like a singer-songwriter, just me and the guitar. I wanted a little bit more than that. And I wanted it to be something somewhat contemporary, as contemporary as an old sod like me can make something. And so we did that with Don't. Let's have a listen to this anyway, Don't. Don't take me for another fool now, don't. Gone and broken every rule now, don't. You walk away and you think it's cool, well, don't. You didn't have to be that cruel, cause I, strong as I am, the fear of falling, you just couldn't understand. Just another bird, no, don't. You and me, it's just absurd, well, don't. You get no points for coming third, no, don't. Don't you say another word, cause I, strong as I am, the fear of falling, you just couldn't understand. Could really fall for you and I.
strong as I am. The fear of falling, you just couldn't understand. Cause I, strong as I am, the fear of falling, you just couldn't understand.
Lovely, lovely. I love that song. Love that song. And I hope people don't think that I'm being egocentric. Because if people that actually know me in real life, like proper people that you know, if you know me personally, you would know that I'm not egocentric at all. I'm not a shy, retiring violet. I'm not that for sure. But with these songs, once they're done, they're kind of my songs. But I can look at them. And listen to them, objectively, and think, oh yeah, I like that, because you know, I say, oh yeah, I really like that song. I think it's a great song. But there's other songs of mine that I obviously wouldn't play, and then go, well, I don't like that very much. And there's a few songs like that that sometimes you just have to let them go. And it was interesting actually, because, well, I think it's interesting. At the end of that, you could hear those bells. If you want to ever listen again, listen to the bells. And I've just looked in my room, and I've got those bells. Still bells. These are Indian dancing bells that you tie to your ankles, and as you, I'm just banging them on the table there. Then they make that noise. So yeah, "Don't" was written about a relationship that never happened. I wrote it when I lived in Hampton, when things in my life were going pretty well, and. Sometimes you come up with a song and you think, oh, okay, this is going to be about this. And it's sort of quite sad. You've got that sort of guitar, that guitar part that's quite sad. And it's a sort of sad song. And you think, well, I think it's going all right at the moment. And I think, oh, what can I use? What can I draw on? What story can I tell? And there was a particular girl that I had a fancy to, I think maybe a year or so before. And a bit of an infatuation for a couple of weeks. Just I wouldn't even say it was an infatuation. I just sort of fancied her for a few weeks. And she's a lovely girl. And I wrote a song about her. And there's a line. She's got quite a Cockney accent. And that's why I've put in there, "You're never just another bird." Because it's the sort of thing that she would have said. And would most likely still say that as well. So there's that. Right, now the next song I'm going to play is a song called "Coming Home," and I wrote that. Actually, "Coming Home" was the first song that I wrote when I came back from America, and I'll tell you about that after you've heard it. So listen to this. This is "Coming Home."
Rain on my windscreen and the sun on my back. Nothing left in this place, I'm ever holding back. I'm coming home, coming home. You're the sun in my morning, you're the moon in my night. When I get in at 3 a.m., you're such a beautiful sight. Coming home, everything gets crazy, when everything turns black, nothing's gonna stop me, ain't nothing gonna hold me back. Coming home, coming home. I'm not gonna run, I can hear you calling. I'm not gonna hide, I can see you falling. I'm not gonna stop, cause I can hear you crying for me. I'm not gonna run, I can hear you calling. I'm not gonna hide, I can see you falling for me. I'm not gonna stop.
Hello, I'm a posh bird, and you're listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast.
Yep, and this is a special this week, all about 3am, the album 3am, which is being reissued on vinyl, or will be if we get enough people to buy it, or pre-order it. Pre-order it, that's what we're doing. So that was Coming Home, and actually not the first song I wrote when I came out from America. The first thing I wrote in America, on this guitar. This guitar that I've got here. Now, before 2012, I exclusively played a 12-string guitar. And so I was a singer-songwriter, solo singer-songwriter. And all I played when I gigged and all the things that I did was all recorded on a 12-string guitar and had been since about 16 when I got the guitar. I think I was about 16, 17 when I got that guitar. And the 12-string guitar, and I knew, because if you don't know, I gave up normal full-time employment in 2012 and became a full-time musician. Before I did that, I went on a holiday to America, where I went to go and buy a guitar, this guitar, la 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 la, because I knew that if I needed to be taken seriously as a musician and as a composer, I'd need to do more than just play a 12-string guitar. I needed a 6-string guitar. And I'd wanted one for a long time. So I had some money, and we were going on holiday to America, and I thought, right, I shall go to America and find a guitar to buy in America, a second-hand guitar. And I did some research, not online. I actually did some research in shops, playing different guitars, and I thought, yeah, Taylor, that's what I want. And I could have had a choice of lots of guitars, because I had quite a considerable amount of money with me, in my bank account, you know. So I went out and looked for a guitar, and I bought this guitar. I've actually gone and taken it out of its case. And so we were in somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but it was in a Best Western hotel, and I sat at the end of the bed with this guitar that I just bought, and I played. I thought, oh, what can I do with that? And that's how the song was born. And at the end of the song, there's a bit that goes. Coming home. But better than that. And I wrote that. I was doing a gig somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, but it was for Coops. If anyone knows Coops, it was for Coops. And I was playing this song, and I thought, oh, this is going really well. Because you sort of think when you're playing a song, oh, this is going really well. And then I took my eye off the ball, and instead of playing that chord, which is a straight D, I played this chord. And it put me off. I thought, oh, God, what have I done? What have I done? I've got to come up. And then I went back to this G9. And then that's how that ending was born. Anyway. So, that's how I wrote that. And I thought Coming Home would be quite a good sort of song to write, because I'm in America and I'm going to be coming home to the UK soon. And I thought Coming Home is quite a good theme for a song, because you think, as a songwriter, especially one that had just gone full time, you're looking for songs that are gonna grab people and go, oh yeah, well, that we'll never listen to that, and that, because that means coming home, yeah, we'll put that because that matches that theme that we want. So there was that. So then I come up with this other song completely out of nowhere called Sadder Than Sad.
I'm sadder than sad. I've lost the best baby that I've never had. And here's how it started. She walked into the room and I smelled her perfume, and it's madder than mad. And I'm sadder than sad. Now I know what I'd do. I'd make those mistakes that I always do. I'd start off with flowers, then go over the top, and not know when to stop, and it won't turn out well. And I'm going through hell. And it's almost a curse, and to make matters worse, she's an angel, and she's looking at me, and the whole room can see that she's flicking her hair like she don't have a care, and she's meeting my stare, and I'm totally gone. It's a quarter past two. She's brushing my cheek, I don't know what to do. I'm too weak to fight it, she says nothing at all. Simply hangs off that wall, looks me straight in the eye, like I'm one hell of a guy. Take me to bed. And if I'm not mistaken, she just did it again and again and again. Though I've been there before, she just walked out the door.
and it's almost a curse. And to make matters worse, she's an angel, and she's looking at me, and the whole room can see that she's flicking her hair like she don't have a care. And she's meeting my stare, and I'm totally gone. And it's almost a curse, and to make matters worse, she's an angel, and she's looking at me, and the whole world can see that she's flicking her hair like she don't have a care. And she's meeting my stare, and she's totally gone. And it's mad, mad, and I'm totally gone. And I'm sadder than sad.
I don't know where that song came from. It just came up one night, and I just wrote it. And it's basically... It is what it is. And I have my double bass with me, which is the Hungarian that Rue's got at the moment. He's had that for a while. But yeah, and that don't know where that came from. And Toby, again, Toby Vane, he can play the trumpet. And so that's what he did. He played the trumpet on that and wrote the trumpet part. And when I've played that since, because there's no trumpet there, I whistle it. I come up with the idea of whistling it, and it kind of works. And I haven't played it for a while. We don't do it with the band, but it was on the last album, the Nick Tan Trio album. But yeah, so I don't know where that came from. So let's talk about Never Did Me Wrong, or Never Did Me Harm. That's what it's got. I always put Never Did Me Harm or Never Did Me Wrong. It's weird because it's, I know you never did me wrong. You did your best to keep... But the album, the song's called Never Did Me Harm. I know you never did me harm. Doesn't work, does it? So I had this idea. If you've ever seen Kill Bill, Kill Bill Part 2, when they're in the desert and the marriage is taking place, that's the setting that I'd had the video set for this. And I had this idea I had the whole idea of the song in my head. I knew the whole arrangement, and so I just basically said to Toby, "This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do, and I want this drum beat, and I want this to come in here, and this to come in here, and this to come in here," and we did it. Now, I don't like using effects as such, recording-wise, to enhance anything, but this track is where we use some auto-tune, okay? Now, I don't like auto-tune. The vocals on this album were all comped, so I did various numbers of takes for each song, and we chose the best one. So that's what I did with that. It didn't alter the tuning at all on any of the vocals. But on this, it needed to have some harmonica on it, and my harmonica's in C, and the harmonica we needed to be in D. So we didn't have a D harmonica, so I recorded the harmonica part, and then we auto-tuned it, but we auto-tuned it up a step. So it's actually in D and not in C. But other than that, it's everything is as you see. Sold as seen. WYSIWYG. What you hear, what you get. So, and this is probably my favourite track off the album. Now, when I released the album, I sent these tracks off to various people. And Tom Robinson got hold of this particular song. And he actually messaged me, bless him, and said, "Look, Nick, really love this song, but it's too long. It's too long, mate." He didn't say it like that, but basically it's too long to get played on the radio. And the bits at the beginning, because I wanted to give lots of atmosphere, and you'll hear it in the song, there's loads of atmosphere. Singing bowls at the beginning. I'm looking at my singing bowls. I've got one of them here. You'll hear this sort of noise going on in the background. All that going on, and giving lots of... Because I had this whole idea of the Kill Bill 2 in my head, and the wedding and everything in the desert. And I wanted to create some atmosphere, but basically what he was saying was it needs to start bang. It really needs a sort of punch to it to get played on the radio. So I edited it, and it got played on the radio. Simple as that, really. And someone from BBC actually wrote an article about how all songs sent to the BBC basically should have a punchy start, and said, just like Nick Tan did with blah, 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 blah. Which is fair enough if you want to get radio play, which is obviously, we all want to get radio play. Please love me. Please love me on the radio. So, yeah. But this is still, I think, a lovely version. So this is... The story for this, actually, is basically a guy looking back on his life, sort of alcoholic, hard man looking back on his life and reflecting on the relationships that he's had, and realised that it was all his fault. You know, he shouldn't have screwed up, and it wasn't anybody's fault. It was all just his fault. Okay, Daddy. So yeah, everything's there, isn't it? So yeah, have a listen to this. It's got loads of stuff in it, loads of bits and pieces. There's lots on all of my songs. There's all like touchstones to various influences of mine throughout the years. So have a listen to this. One of my favourites. This is Never Did Me Harm.
so I wrote this song. I did you wrong, so I wrote this song for you.
And it took me ages to explain to Toby how I wanted that ending to be. It's like, and sort of disappears into nothing. It's like into like a little hole, if you like. So there we are. Now, Can't Stop Missing You. I wrote this when I lived in Hampton before I moved down here to the South Coast. And I wrote this about my wife. And although it sounds quite a sad song, it's actually not sad. But you know, I'm not gonna take away some sadness. Jeez, do you think I'm a crazy man? No, but yeah, it's actually quite a joyous little song. It's a nice little love song, and it's with a couple of some chords that I still use. I just discovered these chords. These are. Hang on, I'm just gonna get my guitar. These are some major seventh chords that I found. Guitarists always like to think that they find some chords, but obviously these are chords that people have been using for ages, and they're. So it's. And there's a chorus that's. That's the chorus, but that's from an old song. So that those chords for the chorus are from an old song. I can't remember what song it is now. It was anyway. The initial guitar part is gorgeous on this, but I don't actually play it. Well, I do play it because it's. This is that comes up in it that I was listening to before and thinking, how the hell did I play that? And I think what's happened is with a lot of these songs, I recorded the one guitar part and then did obviously two or three guitar parts, different parts as on top of it. But this one, at the very, very beginning, and you only hear it once, some things sort of like work together. So it's. Somewhere around there it works. So have a listen out for it on this. But yeah, this is a really nice little tune actually. I haven't played this for a while. Performed it for a long time. I don't do it with the band. We might do it after the winter. We'll see. Anyway, have a listen to this. This is gorgeous. I love this. It's called Can't Stop Missing You. And again, beats by Toby. There are fantastic beats on this.
Feelings so well hidden. I'm not an ordinary guy, an ordinary guy, and I can't stop missing you. I can't stop missing you. No matter how hard I try, I just can't tell a lie, 'cause I just can't. Stop missing you. Can't stop missing you. Can't stop missing you. No. You packed your bags as I was watching. You didn't take that much at all. What you left me with was nothing. Writing's on the wall, writing's on the wall, and I can't stop missing you. I can't stop missing you. No matter how hard I try, I just can't tell a lie, 'cause I just can't
stop missing you. Can't stop missing you. Can't stop missing you. No. I can't tell a lie. I've got no alibi. You know I can't. No, no, no. I just can't tell a lie. Way I thought in time I would, I thought in time I would forget you. I think about you now each and every single day, and I can't stop missing you. I can't stop missing you. No matter how hard I try, I just can't tell a lie, 'cause I just can't stop missing you. Can't stop missing you. Can't stop missing you. I can't, 'cause I've tried. I've got no alibi, you know I can't. No, no, no. I just can't tell a lie, you know I can't. No, 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 no. No, I can't. Can't stop missing you. I can't stop missing you. No, no, no. No matter how hard I try, I just can't tell a lie, 'cause I just can't.
Bells again, isn't it?
Do you hear those bells again? Where are they?
Oh, I put them. Oh, never mind. They're around somewhere. They're probably underneath there. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, that beginning bit, dan 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 dan. That brilliant, brilliant. I might have to work that out so I can do it live, because that was the only time I've actually played the beginning of that. Played that song, that guitar part for that song. But that might be quite good for the future. So we're gonna get on to the last track. But before I get onto the last track, I just want to explain a couple of little things. It might seem that musicians like myself, especially, I mean, although I'm with the band now, I still consider myself kind of a soloist, that to do this sort of thing, to put my song out there, and I'm doing it like everybody else does it, is that it takes a certain amount of ego to do. And that a lot of it's just showing off. So what I wanted to tell you was that I had the idea to do this last week, because I saw this, I found this site, this Diggers site, to do this album on vinyl, and I thought, oh, that'd be lovely to have that album, have 3AM on vinyl, would be really good. But last weekend I couldn't do this because I just didn't have the confidence. And that's kind of how it goes sometimes. And I know I'm not on my own. There might be some other musicians listening to me now going, yeah, we're exactly the same. And I know it, because I talk to musicians all the time. And sometimes you just don't feel like your heart's just not in it. Because I'm the only person that does this, like I haven't got a manager or anybody like that. God, I'd love one. Do you know what I mean? There used to be this thing years ago that people would say, oh no, I don't want to get signed. I want to do it all myself. Do you know what? Sign me. I'll give away loads of money just to get rid of the hassle and not have to go, please buy this album. Please do. I mean, I don't mind doing it on various, if I've done radio things before, and people say, oh yeah, yeah, go and buy this album, blah, 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 blah. But to put together little packages of things and to do things similar to what I'm doing now, like this. If Six Music had come to me and said, Nick, what we'd really like you to do is to talk about 3AM and the pre-ordering idea for the vinyl. I go, oh really? You want me to do that? Oh okay. But to actually do this on my own, off my own back, to go, it takes a bit. Do you know what I mean? You have to kind of distance yourself from the actual thing of what you're doing. Going, so this song that I've actually written and recorded, I want you to actually put some of your money that you earned and to buy a copy of it, because I think it's really good. And it's a mad thing. It's a mad, crazy thing, all this publicity that we all do all the time. I mean, you must see it yourself if you're a music listener and you follow a few people on Facebook and that, and you see people going, oh, well, this week I've got this coming out. And then every time you see something from a musician, right, says that I'm playing on this Friday, I'm doing this and doing that, a part of themselves, they're giving a part of themselves, and a little bit of themselves is dying inside. Especially when you sort of put yourself forward and, oh, do this, and you sell about 4 tickets for a show, or no one signs up for that thing that you wanted to do, or no one shares it, or no one views this thing, or whatever. We're doing this all the time. It's not just me. There's loads of other people that do it all the time. And it's a heartbreaker. It's an absolute heartbreaker. So not just me, but obviously me. It's nice to get some feedback from someone saying, yeah, really enjoyed that, Nick, or that was great, Nick, or something else. I've got this video out that's going to be on the website, and I've had it up on Facebook as well. And there's been over 400 views of this video, and 2 people have signed up for it. For this album so far, there's 12 pre-sales so far. There's 10 come from somewhere I really don't know, but there's 2 people that have come this week as a result of this video that I've put out, and that's kind of lovely, and it's touching that 2 people did it, and hopefully there'll be some more people that do it well as well. But there's a good chance that no one else is going to sign up for this album. No one else will sign up for this album, and it will be a heartbreaker, and I'm kind of almost prepared for people not to pre-order this album, and for it to run, because it runs for 50 days. There's 40 days left, but it runs for a certain amount of time, and then they just look at it and go, right, okay, no one's bought enough copies, so we're not going to make it. Everyone gets their money back, and that's how it works. And I'm fully prepared for that. I'm 95% sure that is actually going to happen. It's weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird that you put yourself on the line like that? And I do it all the time. And I can't see a time when I'm not going to do it. I can't see a time when I'm not actually going to keep pushing myself all the time. Because unless anybody else wants to do it, if someone else wanted to do it, I'd be going, yep, do it. I'll give you all the tools you need. But, you know, we put ourselves out booking gigs and stuff. And sometimes it looks like everything's brilliant, because everything always looks brilliant on Facebook, unless someone's having a drama. And the same on Twitter and all that kind of social media stuff. It all looks like we're having a fantastic time. And sometimes we do, but most of the time it's dire. And I speak to musicians and I go, oh yeah, it looks like that gig you did last week was really good, because they go, oh, thanks so-and-so for putting us on at this venue and having a fantastic time. But when you talk to them, they go, yeah, 4 people turned up and I had to chase the owner or the promoter for £10. And it was horrible, and there was this guy threw up, and it was horrible. But on Facebook, everything's lovely. We had a lovely time down there at that stinky little bar that no one turned up at, except that one person who got really drunk and started to abuse us and started to say, can't you play something by Oasis? That sort of thing. I'm not expecting people to sit there and feel sorry for me, because I don't want your fucking pity. You can take it, shove it in your ear. All I'm saying is, just understand that I'm not this, I'm so beautiful, darling, and I'm so clever, and I'm so bloody popular, just come and love what I do. Look, I'm just a person. I'm a human being walking this earth. And it would be great if you like this music and you're into vinyl and stuff, buy this album, because it would be great. And personally, I think it's a great album. Great little album, this is. So, that's the end of the show. I'm going to finish off with this last track called Parallel Lines. So, a little story about Parallel Lines. I had this song called Head On, and I had a friend of mine who messaged me. They got in touch and said, look, making this film called Parallel Lines. I used to work with this person, so they knew that I wrote music. So it would be great if you could, you know, put some music towards it. And it'd be great. And what we'll do is we'll make, if we use your song, we'll make a video for you of that song. And they did. But so I had this song called Head On, and I changed a few words and made it into Parallel Lines. And it comes up at the end credits of the song, of the film. And I got some other bits and pieces, not from this album, but into that film. Now, at the time that I did this, I was on tour with Coast. So I was on tour in Scotland. Then we went out to Denmark and Germany. And I was getting the tracks together and I was sending this track all over the place, getting it mixed and getting it mastered and stuff. So it made it into the film. So when it got to this, album, I thought I'd redo the song again. And so this is another version of Parallel Lines. So out there somewhere, I can't remember where it is now. There's a version of Parallel Lines that's the same song, but just a different arrangement with real drums on it. But this is one we did in the studio, and this is a great testament to, well, really what me and Toby Vane and I got together and did. And he's come up with the idea. So how about halfway back towards the end, you just do it a cappella with a group and clapping and stuff. And I thought, really? But it sounded great. And it sort of ends the album nicely. So if you're listening for the first time, I'm shouting now. If you're listening for the first time to the podcast, it's not normally like this. It's normally one of my songs in there, because Matt Stevens said to me, why not put one of your own songs in your own podcast? Why not? But a lot of people have thought, well, yeah, why do I want to listen to a podcast? It's just full of your music. It's like, yeah, all right. Okay, I know I'm not Bloody Elbow, but anyway, so next week I'll be back to normal with songs from all over the world, lots of other people. But thanks for listening. If you've listened this far, thank you very much. And if you've enjoyed the songs, why not? And if why not buy it on vinyl? And if you don't want to buy it on vinyl, share it. Share it around. Go to the website. It's this thing on podcast.com, and you'll find this particular post. So it'd be lovely if you could share it, or if you want to just make a comment on it saying, Nick, you're shit, go home, or whatever. It'll be great just to get some kind of reaction. Love me. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is the final song. This is called Parallel Lines. I love you all. Bye.
Tonight we're going round again. Who said what and where and when? Another night, another dream, another day, another scene. There's you, there's me. Too hard to pretend. We're too much, not enough. So intense, it's getting tough. There's you, there's me. There's you, there's me. In our crazy little world, we have to face our future head on, head on. We have to keep each other strong. We gotta face our problems head on, head on. As we walk off through the night, the darkness gives way to the light. We're gonna see this lifetime through. There's nothing else that we can do.
head on. We have to keep each other strong. We gotta face our problems head on.
This is the Posh Bird, and you have been listening to Nick Tan's Is This Thing On podcast. Fucking good, wasn't it?